You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, no show on Friday, no live show anyway because of the holiday. So we got G. Scott in here a couple days early, 8 o'clock on a, what day is it? Tuesday. G, what's up, man?
Good morning, brother.
How good
morning.
Doing? Thanks. I'm glad
good,
you're here.
Man. Getting ready to fly to the Midwest because, you know, I got that big rivalry game.
Oh.
You know, I got that team up north out there in
Is
Ann Arbor.
Is that this weekend?
That's this weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna miss the pillow fight here with the Apple Cup back here in Washington.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Ohio State just scored again against Michigan State. Sorry. They just scored again.
Well, they just scored again.
Yeah, just running that thing up. They're still scoring. It's 3 days later. All right, well, that's awesome. Little Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Baby G
it'll
got in the game a little bit this past week?
Yeah, I got it. You know, I was a little nervous. Threw a little catch. You got a little catch.
Good.
You know, it wasn't that far, nothing like that, but he got a little something.
Good.
So it's been good for
awesome.
Him, man.
Good to hear. All right, G. Scott with me. G, of course, host of G and Ursula over in our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM. Great show, 9 to noon every single weekday. And I love talking Seahawks with G. We'll talk some Thanksgiving here in a couple of minutes. But let's start with the Hawks because it was hideous, man. I mean, losing that game to a team without their starting quarterback, their star wide receiver, or their starting defensive end, that's a rough look. And the way it all went down with a pathetic offense, what happens next?
Well, they lost to Colt McCoy, who is now 3-0 against the Seahawks. That's number
unbelievable,
one. I mean,
isn't
he
it?
Loves coming here. He's like, where's daddy? I'm here. That's Colt McCoy. So what's going on with this team? Look, let's simplify, all right? Those that are listening right now, let's just go down memory lane. Let's go back to what we have seen over the last 10 years. We've seen Russell be Superman, okay? That's what we've seen. We've been used to Russell being heroic. There's been so many games in which you're like, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it,
mm-hmm.
and he does it, right? So that's happened all of these years. And so here we are right now. Reminds me of when you watch Superman 2 back in the day when Clark Kent loses all of his powers. He's at the bar. He gets beat up, right? And he's, I mean, it's okay. I mean, everybody loses sometimes. Well, we are seeing a human experience of Russell Wilson. When I say human as in we've never seen him lose his last three starts like he's done.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen him in a situation where he hasn't thrown for a touchdown in eight quarters. We haven't seen the Seahawks offense only score one touchdown, which was the rushing touchdown on Sunday, in eight quarters. This team is going through something, but at the same time, hey,
I want to make sure I understand it. Yeah, there is. And there's a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to talk some more about that today. I'm curious when you say kind of make the Superman comparison,
uh-huh.
is it because you think he's not healthy enough to kind of
yes.
kick it into gear? Like
yes.
he's like Latimer at the end of the program where he doesn't have that juice and he's not able to like make the hit at the goal line?
Yes. I mean, look, let's be real. We can attribute. I mean, I haven't asked number three. I don't know personally. But here's what I do know. I do know that you can look and you can see, something's not right. Well, we know what it is. It's the finger. He has not been right since the finger, and arguably so.
Arguably, it wasn't right even before the finger, though. Gee, that's what I thought against Green Bay. I didn't see the finger being nearly as big an issue this past weekend. You did?
Yeah. And also the reluctance to kind of air it out a little bit, too. I kind of felt that way. But there was a play. There was a shot to Penny Hart.
That was not a good throw. But also, he wasn't open.
Yeah, but you can see. But those, that's what it's attributed to. I mean, let's be real. If you say it's not the finger, you mean to tell me you're used to seeing Russell Wilson not throw a touchdown in eight quarters?
No, but I think it's more than the finger. I think the finger maybe was a big factor against Green Bay. I think it's more than that, man. They just look broken.
Well, look, again, the NFL is predicated on quarterback play. Show me who your quarterback is, and I'll show you where you're going. The Seahawks have benefited off that over the last 10 years. They've had number three, who started every game, who never missed practice, always there. There is a lot to be said by that in an offense that just benefits from that, right? An offense that consistently has done that. Now, I'm not going to put all of this on Russell Wilson either, though. Right. So another thing that we are seeing how the Seahawks have drafted. I know to somebody that the Seahawks are not going to like what I'm going to say here, but let's keep it a buck. 100. The draft has not been good. Some of the same players that are out there making plays today are some of the same players that you drafted years ago. Right. And you look at Tyler Lockett and of course DK Metcalf, those, you know, you drafted them, they were been great. But it hurts. It hurts when you start talking about the running back position in which you've drafted. It hurts when you start talking about, I mean, no disrespect to LJ Collier. Great person, great young man. But it hurts when you have a first round draft pick and one minute he is active, but he doesn't hardly play, and the next minute he's an inactive, a healthy scratch.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't win that way, and we have seen the formula. So somebody might say, "Oh well, gee, you guys don't no, quit with this. You don't know. People don't know anything about football. Fans know. You know just as much about football as anybody else. You've been watching this the entire time. You know that you win football games with good quarterback play, and you got to be successful in the draft. Were they successful in the draft in 2010, 11, and 12? Yes, sir." Absolutely.
How about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20?
I you know.
Well, no. Flat answer, no.
But, well,
they haven't had a successful draft other than whatever year it was they got Lockett and Clark. We'll give you that one.
That was a great one.
That was a good draft. That was a really good draft.
That was a great one.
Okay. They've had one successful draft since 2012. You can't win like that.
It's tough, man.
You can't win like that. And not when your free agents end up being Kerry Hyder and Benson Mayoa and like – you know, Carlos Dunlap, who hasn't done anything this year, it's more than the quarterback for me right now. It's a roster that's just not enough, and it leads me to the next question, Gene. I know you and I have kind of, you know, flitted around this, and what is Jody Allen going to do? What is her involvement? How does she handle this through Chuck Arnold and Bert Kolb and the rest of her people? What does she think as she's watching this?
Well, I'd like for Jody Allen to think that, hey, it's a rough patch, right? This isn't like a rough 3 years. This isn't a rough 5 years. This is a rough month and a half. You know what I mean? And so the decisions that are going to be made and that have to be made can't be radical decisions. Can't be, oh, we got to get things done now. Yeah, sure. They're 3-7, and it's not good. No doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that you come in here and just do all these crazy things. Now, what does that mean going forward? For the first time ever, I'll say this. For the first time ever, I wonder if when the Star Spangled Banner is played in 2022, in September, first game of the season the Seahawks play, I wonder, will Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll be here at the same time? This is the first time that I can honestly say I really, really wonder that. So I don't know what the decisions that are going to be made, but these are some of the things that you think about. What's going to happen with Bobby Wagner going forward? We do know that he makes a lot of money. But even though Bobby Wagner is playing really well and deserving,
is he?
Yeah. Come on now.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Come on.
I'm not going to say that. I don't think he's playing really well. I saw him have a guy dead to rights 6 yards before the sticks this last week, and then next thing I know,
that guy
makes a first down.
I saw
him get carried 5 yards into the end zone by A.J. Dillon for a touchdown the week before. Mm-hmm. I've seen 15 tackles that are all back in coverage because the ball's getting completed. I hear Dave Wyman talking about how the linebackers don't get deep enough drops, and that's why there's so many completions over the middle. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But as you said, we all watch football. I don't see the same Bobby Wagner I used to see. I don't see a lot of turnovers. I don't see the hard hits in the middle. I don't see Bobby blowing people up. I don't see that.
Okay, so before they get to that level, can we talk about D-line play?
Sure, it's not good either. But
it's all connected, right? Like everything is connected in football, especially when you talk about the defensive side of things. It's all connected.
The plays I just said, those are all individual plays. Those are not D-line plays. I got all kinds of issues there too, but those aren't based on D-line. The plays I just circled for you were one-on-one individual moments.
Fair enough. We can spend all day, but we sure could.
I got to ask you something. Oh. Decision making. We only have four more minutes here. You got engaged again?
Yeah, bro.
How'd that happen?
Walk the blade, man.
How'd you make that decision? We got a big ring. What's going on?
It was time, man. You know,
old
school. It
was just your time.
Old school, you know, the grandmamas and mamas and them used to say, you guys remember when they say, now look, baby, you're going to go ahead and you court them.
Yes.
You court them first.
I remember when my grandmother said, look, baby.
Yeah. you court them. And then once you court them, you get to know them. And then towards the end, you want to do right by them. Mm-hmm. Right. So in this case, you got to do right by them.
Okay.
So this is me doing right by them. I don't need any jokes out of you, Justin, or Moore at all. Okay. We're going to save the jokes.
Yes.
All right. So the engagement happened. I saw Moore on Sunday and I did not tell Moore. Moore, I am apologetic. I'm sorry. You gave your fantasy update and I didn't even say anything to you.
I said, how's it going? Good.
Good. No, nothing new. No. Yeah, just kind of hanging out.
No, I just wanted to congratulate you.
All right. Where did you get engaged? Where'd you go?
Right after a fight party.
Oh.
With a couple of my friends.
Well, so after a fight party?
After a fight party.
Well, that is romantic.
Gone.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
What could be more romantic than getting engaged after boxing?
A big old ring.
Don't judge him. Don't judge him.
Hey, so
I'm gonna judge him a little bit.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Right.
The ring. Hey, look here. I can guarantee you, I could have been on I-5, 405, 167 Highway 18.
Bring out that ring.
Question.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go, bro.
All right, I gotta ask you. I should ask you about Sam Heward, but I don't care that much. I really care more about your Thanksgiving. So. What I was saying, I got a lot of rules for Thanksgiving meal for myself. First of all, I don't hate on turkey. I know everybody likes to hate on turkey these days. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's disrespectful, quite frankly. I think it's un-American, and I got a lot of problems with it. But okay. I also, my rules for Thanksgiving are that I want sort of a like the same like color palette for all of my food. It's all got to go in the fall, cream, brown, white, red, orange, yellow, everything kind of fits into the fall color palette.
I'm just glad you see color. In this situation, when it comes to when it comes to the plate, man, look, it doesn't matter. Here's what matters. If you go to someone's home, we all know that everybody makes a big deal out of their turkey. Everybody's listening right now. Oh, I make the best turkey. Or my husband makes the best turkey. Uncle Rio makes the best turkey. Everybody claims we make the best turkey. Just put a little piece of turkey on a plate. Don't be disrespectful and not put the turkey on a plate. By the way, I think turkey is the most overrated
thing
in the world.
Stop.
It's nasty. It's dry. It's boring. The only thing a turkey is good for is the next day on a Friday morning, the turkey sandwich on some white bread and mayo.
See, Justin, I told you. You gave me grief and said nobody talks like this. I told you, like, there's all this Thanksgiving. People take it for granted these days.
I didn't say that no one talks like this. You just shot me down on the veggie tray. Gee, do you put out a VIP veggie tray before Thanksgiving or no?
Time out. Did you say a VIP?
That's what I call it. It's a VIP veggie tray.
Nobody puts veggie. First of all, you come to. Nobody's doing veggie trays. Okay, no, I take that back. I can't say nobody.
Yeah.
Black culture, there is no veggie tray during that. We got the desserts, you got the sides, you got about 100 things on the menu. And matter of fact, a lot of times dinner don't even start till 5-6 o'clock.
So it's like at like 11-12, we're watching football and there's just like a spread of like vegetables.
Why
and
wouldn't
dips
they be
and
a spread of
crackers
of normal things? Why do they have to be vegetables? Jewish culture, by the way, you don't have a veggie tray either.
Justin, why are you eating veggie? Well, let me guess. I know, Justin, tell the truth. You have green bean casserole, don't you?
Yes.
There it is, Salk. There it is.
Gross.
That is, wait, are you ready for this? That is so American.
We listen to Kid Rock.
Oh, no.
Yeah, gee, have you watched the new Kid Rock video? Will you do yourself a favor?
No,
please,
don't.
Do me a favor. Spend five
don't
minutes today and watch the Kid Rock video. Mm. If you don't laugh, I promise you will laugh. I promise it will make you smile.
Hey, Justin, do you have pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie?
Pumpkin pie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Boy, Justin, boy, it's just a good old-fashioned Thanksgiving.
Let me tell you something.
It is. It's Montana.
Here's what I will say. Forget about turkey being overrated. Ditch pumpkin pie. Ditch any of that. Go apple pie. It is a vastly,
yeah, I think there's apple pie
vastly superior pie.
Yeah. I think there's apple pie at ours.
Yeah. Throw some ice cream right on
it. Before you guys kick me out of here, let's be real.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have prime rib
or
some tomahawk steak rather than a boring turkey?
364 other days a year. You got one day to eat turkey.
Boring turkey.
And
by the way, let's be real. Salk, you can't cook, fam.
Yeah, we all know that.
You post say it was. I'm going to a restaurant.
Every single meal that you post that you cook looks thirsty.
What?
I have never been. Every time I see you post something, I got to go get something to drink. Matter of fact, I'm talking about your food right now. Hold on.
What? Where does this come from?
Your food looks terrible, fam.
Well, I make good food. I'm a good cook.
Your steaks look well done. They look like jerky.
False.
My steaks are never well done. Carbs involved. You're always telling me about some kind of zucchini noodle.
Yeah, well, I'm trying not to eat carbs because I get fat. People like you give me grief about it. I weigh like 7 pounds and I'm 5'10".
Used to be
a model. How come you don't eat carbs? Because I get fat, Maura.
When you say fat.
The most disrespectful thing you said to me in two months.
When you say fat, you mean F-H-A-T, pretty hot and tempting?
That's me, yes. I'm pretty hot and tempting. Goodbye, G. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye,
see you. There you go. There goes G. We're late, Maura. Press the button. It's time for Need to Know. I'm so mad at you right now.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Sheesh. Can't believe I now have to tell people what they need to know. Yeah, I get fat. If I don't eat well, I blow up like a balloon.
Your food looks thirsty.
I can't believe the insult.
G said your food looks thirsty and you can't cook and I'm the villain here because I like carbs.
Yeah. That's exactly right, Maura. Get used to it. All right, Seahawks are 3-7. The playoffs are essentially out of reach. I'm sweating. It's uncharted waters for Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. 7 games left. Pete's team does have something to play for. For me, it starts with making sure that Jets pick isn't as high as it looks right now. It would be the 7th pick in the draft if it were held today. Repeatedly, Pete, on yesterday in our conversation, went back to execution issues as the cause of their issues. All right, but I still thought it was more than that. I thought there was talent. I think there's scheme. I think it's all of it. And you add it all up together, it does account to some big losses. And I understand, but I also think more talent would hide those flaws. Pete mentions their challenges getting Russ back into the offense. It's built around him. Okay. Again, I can respect it, but Arizona's winning with Colt McCoy. You should be able to win with Russell Wilson. Next 7 weeks are going to be fascinating, not just to see how the team plays out this string, but also how the franchise decides to move forward. More specifically, how does owner Jody Allen wish to engage in this? It's the first time she's really been called upon to pass judgment and or act, and I don't think any of us really know what she's going to do. Last night, Bucks, no problem, take care of business, beat the Giants on Monday Night Football 30-10. Brady throws for 300. The story, though, is probably more in New York. Daniel Jones continuing to struggle, 167 yards, 2 picks, 1 just awful. They could be looking to pick up a franchise quarterback this offseason.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, interim Cougar coach Jake Dickert auditioning for the full-time job and making a pretty good case for it. Interim Huskies coach Bob Gregory, he's apparently auditioning for open mic night at Chuckles. Asked last night if we could see Sam Heward start in the Apple Cup. He said, well, he could tell you.
I could, but I have to kill you, so no, there's no... Not going to divulge no injuries, no quarterback updates, so you guys are probably done, right?
Ah, the old Top Gun quote. My dad would be very proud. But I do think it's a good question, and I think he doesn't owe anybody an answer. If there's a competitive advantage in not telling, fine, but you got to start Sam Heward, right? Don't you have to see what you have for next year? Gift, you know, free gift with very little downside. If he loses, fine. You're 4-8 instead of 5-7. Who cares? Negligible difference. And you don't have to burn his red shirt. But if he wins, well, maybe that provides some of that spark you need to start luring some recruits here and maybe even get the right coach to Montlake, where apparently there's at least 3 other jobs that are better. Other storyline here, of course, is whether the Cougs can finally beat the Huskies in an Apple Cup, especially with a Pac-12 North title potentially on the line. They would need to win and get some help from Oregon State beating Oregon in order to make that happen. You can hear the game Friday right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, hot stove season starting to kick in. A couple of pitchers making their decisions. Mariners will have to contend with pretty good lefty reliever Aaron Loop more often. He signed a deal. He was in Toronto. Now he'll be with the Angels. Been one of the better lefties in the game the last couple of years, so Jared Kelnick better start prepping. Right-hander Anthony DeSclafani opted to stay put in San Francisco in a new 3-year deal. Actually, the Giants have been probably the busiest team, reportedly very close to a deal with lefty Alex Wood, and they'd like to keep Kevin Gausman as well. Mariners apparently had a little interest in DeSclafani, but nothing yet on their front. In the meantime, players starting to build on what they started last year. Logan Gilbert was great yesterday with Jake and Stacey.
Everybody's just so excited, honestly. I think we saw a glimpse of it last year, especially with where we finished and how we ended the season. And, you know, people are starting to notice that I think we have what it takes, and we're right on the edge of the playoffs, and I think it's only going to get better in the years to come.
Yeah, we'll talk to Ty France this morning at 9 o'clock here a little bit more about that. You can get single game tickets on sale tomorrow at Mariners.com. One more day off for the Kraken. They will try to take some of that momentum from the big win Sunday and apply it at home against Carolina tomorrow. Big game for GM Ron Francis, who played for the Hurricanes and was the GM there as well. LeBron James suspended a game. Isaiah Stewart, two games for their altercation in Detroit on Sunday. Last night, the Suns beat the Spurs. Sixers over the Kings, who were playing their first game after firing coach Luke Walton. I'm a huge Kings fan, by the way. I don't know if I've told you that. Pacers upset the Bulls, and the Celtics hammer the Rockets. That's everything you need to know. We do that every hour. Yeah, I'm a big Kings fan. Oh, jeez. Yeah. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
It's just such an insane line. The new movie, by the way. Wasn't it supposed to be coming out? I thought it was supposed to be
out. I thought it was supposed to be out. Like, I'm all in, by the way. I'll see it. I've seen Top Gun, I don't know, 150 times.
Expected May 27th.
Oh, that's soon. I'm ready.
Yeah, but I thought it was supposed to be this year. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure
we
got that
in. Maybe they got pushed back from COVID.
Well, it definitely did. But I wanted to make sure that we got that out, because this is obviously, this should be leading the show.
You know who really likes this song in this movie?
Me?
Brock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
And
by that.
Dad. Yeah, my dad. My dad loves Top Gun. Yeah, Brock
looks like he could have been an extra in this movie.
Too. Yeah, Brock looks like he should have been in the volleyball scene.
Yeah.
Which he always talks about, too.
Oh, is he Buff Dude Report?
Brock loves the volleyball scene. You can take that whatever you want.
Cranberries from a can or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Good. Just making sure that was
Give
on your
some
spread.
Some ocean spray out of a can.
Okay. So you are not that fancy.
No. Yeah. By the way, I don't really need that, though. Like, I don't like cranberry sauce that much.
I don't need the
much.
Cranberries either. Yeah.
It's fine. You can throw it on my plate. I might have a little bit, but I'll probably just ignore it. That's just empty calories. I want to, like, make my Thanksgiving. I can only eat so much, and I want to cram as much stuffing into my stomach as possible.
Yeah, my rule is if it's not a vessel for gravy, I don't need it.
Yeah.
But if it's early in the day, the VIP veggie tray is there.
Now, I will say
there.
The one thing. Now, I can't believe G's insulting my cooking. Whatever. But the one thing I tend to struggle with is finding a good gravy at home. We go to restaurants now. I'm out on cooking Thanksgiving if I can help it. I like to go to a restaurant, let somebody else do it. When I'm done, you just walk away. There's no cleaning. You go right home. You take a nap. Like, it's perfect. I'm all in on Thanksgiving in a restaurant. But I have struggled to find a good gravy at home.
That's my job usually. Like, my mom and dad would take care of everything else, and I would come in and make the gravy. After.
Okay. And you make it from scratch?
Yeah, you just use the drippings.
The drippings?
The
some cornstarch, some
flour
water.
And water. Yeah, and a little
That's probably the
salt,
way to do
pepper.
It. Yep. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. There's not a good, like, store-bought gravy that I've ever found. Like, none of them
do it
really
the right
work.
Way.
Yeah.
People swear by the Trader Joe's, but I don't know. I haven't had it. I tried to find it last year. I couldn't, like, they were out early, like a week early, too. Like, you just can't even get it. So. Yeah, that's a challenge.
Make it, bring him to scratch. That's all I'm saying.
I'm totally off mic. I can't believe G insulted my cooking like that. And I've invited him to come over the house. Now thirsty. I know why he hasn't come. He doesn't want to eat my cooking. He's embarrassed, I would think. Sheesh, what a mess. All right, can I play you two pieces of sound? Maura pulled this for me yesterday. Wow. When you hear these two pieces of sound back to back, you're going to have more questions than you already had about the Seahawks. It's next.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
All right, I got to play you these two pieces of sound. We got a lot going on this morning. Let me remind you, Ty France is going to be with us in a half hour. I'm looking forward to talking to Ty France. I swear to God, I was dying yesterday, though. I looked up, I just, you know, I knew we were going to interview him, so I started with a Google search, and I was going to do a little research on it. And when you see the questions, like other questions people are asking, and the first one is,
suggested
is
Google
Ty
search.
France from France? Like, really?
Yeah.
That's something people are Googling? Is Ty France from France? No.
It's right up there with, like, are lighters flammable?
Seriously, one of the few others on there was, well, yeah, how, like, old is Jared Kelnick? Like, what? Why are people looking that up with Ty France? But anyway, we'll talk to him coming up in a half hour. He seems like a pretty good dude, so looking forward to that. John Clayton joins me in 15 minutes. I guess I could ask him about this, too. So let me run through this. Tyler Lockett was asked, this is postgame, right, Maura? This is postgame.
Yes.
Tyler Lockett was asked what's going on with the offense. There's something confusing going on. So Tyler Lockett is asked, what is going on with the offense? Here's his answer.
Honestly, man, like, all these teams is not playing what they play on film. Like, they're literally not. So it's hard to be able to get ready. because you don't know what you're going to get. Every time you go against a team, they might play all man-to-man, you know, their whole entire 7-8 games, and then they turn around and play us, and they don't play man once. You know, when you're looking at what teams are doing consistently week in and week out, nobody's doing that against us.
Okay. So, again, remember that. Tyler Lockett says teams are doing something different when they play the Seahawks versus whatever else they show on film. All right, well, Pete Carroll gets presented with those comments, and this is his answer.
Well, you're assuming that he's right.
Whoa.
Is there more to that?
Does there need to be? I'm happy to continue playing it. I hit pause, not stop. But his first part of his answer is, "Does you're assuming he's right?" Whoa.
You know, and I didn't hear his comments, so I don't know what he said. So I'm not going to comment about that. But we've often seen teams over the years play us differently, you know, than they've played other teams because of the makeup of the QB, his mobility, and all that. They try to find a way to see if they can counter that, and that's always been kind of the case. So that's nothing new for us at all.
So Pete actually says he is right. Right?
Yeah.
You're assuming that he's right.
But Tyler seems to think this is different.
Right. Well, okay. Let me play you one other piece of sound, and then we can kind of figure out what all of this means together. Here is Russell asked sort of, was he asked about this specifically, or is it just the same kind of question?
Yeah, it was a similar question to Tyler's, okay. Like, why are you...
But he wasn't directly responding to Tyler.
To Tyler, no.
Okay, so here's Russ.
Honestly, man, like, all these teams is not playing what they play on
that's
film.
That's just more Tyler. Hold on. Oh, you know what? This is labeled wrong. It's funny. For whatever reason, Maura, we got the same
wrong
Lockett cut in there again.
Okay.
Sorry about that. All right, well, we'll play you the Russell cut in a moment. In the meantime, I do think that there is something to what Lockett's saying, but wouldn't you expect that given some of the specific like blueprint it takes these days to beat the Seahawks? I that wouldn't surprise me necessarily at all. All right, here's Russ.
I wouldn't say that. No, I think it's a little different. I think they didn't do anything surprising, to be honest with you. They play, you know, 3, they play 4, they play 6, they play 2, some every once in a while. They play a good amount of match man, typical NFL football. They didn't do anything that was alarming or anything like that. I think that, for us, we just didn't execute on making plays.
Football's weird, man. Some of the like order of what they play 3, they play 6, they play 4, they play 2. Like, I don't know. Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
No.
Me neither.
You can say anything.
I kind of understand the, like, you know, single high safety, 2 deep safeties, 3. Like, I kind of understand some of the zone
stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it's easy to guess on those.
But I don't know what 6 is. Is that a front? Are you now talking about fronts? I don't know. Football gets confusing. Plus, these guys love, like, creating new terms all the time. Like, when we were kids, you know, you had the nose guard, you had a defensive tackle, you had defensive ends. Those don't even exist anymore. Now you got the 3 technique. 5 technique, right? Oh, yeah, that guy's a 3 tech. Like, oh, come on. They're just messing with you by changing the names of all of... It's all the same position, still defensive end. But now he's a 5 technique or a 7 technique. Oh, yeah, we prefer him at 5 tech. Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's so weird to have Tyler Lockett going, these guys played something completely different than what we prepared for all week, and Russell saying, no, they didn't really do anything different.
Yeah, and Pete kind of agreeing with Tyler, but by disagreeing with him. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't know whether it matters whether teams are switching it up on them. What matters is just what completely different pages all 3 guys seem to be on.
Exactly.
Right? I think Tyler Lockett might be right. I do think you're right, Moore. It's weird that, like, all of a sudden that's an issue because I think teams have always done this to the Seahawks. There's a blueprint to try to beat them, and so it doesn't matter what they do every other week. When you play the Seahawks, this is the way to beat them, so that's what they do. I do think it's weird, though, that they're all answering in such different ways.
Right. It doesn't paint a picture of a functional...
It doesn't, and it makes you question comments like this one.
We haven't talked about the path forward. We're just talking about this game today, and... But we've been connected on everything we're doing. We talked about it last night, you know, about what had happened in this game and went through it and tried to get ready for today. And that's all we've gone.
I mean, Pete going on about being on the same wavelength with Russ, and it does get increasingly hard to believe that everybody is functioning at the same time and throw Shane Waldron into that mix as well. It seems like you've got a lot of cooks maybe operating in different kitchens. That's just kind of how it feels. Now, I'm not inside it every day. I'm not seeing how it functions. But from the outside and listening to their comments and then watching it transpire on the field and, you know, Pete's comments yesterday with me saying that, you know, the execution, like it the scheme is right and the play call is right and all of it, but just the execution's a problem. Well, something is getting missed along the line, right? Somewhere along the line, there's like a game of telephone where somebody's like changing the words. It has to happen somewhere. Because ultimately, the product that we're seeing is not the same as what we've become accustomed to. And while I will continue to blame the roster, I don't think the talent is good enough. That's been true for 5 years. So maybe it's just finally, you know, straw that broke the camel's back, and Bobby's gotten older and Russ has gotten older and they just can't make up the difference anymore. Maybe it's that. But I think it's more likely that you've got multiple problems. It starts with the fact that your roster is just simply not good enough, that the years of poor drafting have just caught up with you. Fine. There's still been like, it's still worse. It still looks, the product is still worse than that because Russ and et cetera have always kind of covered that stuff up. So what is going on? If let's take Pete at his word that there's a problem with the execution, what is causing it? Where is that miscommunication? Is it with, and here's a guess, and I don't, again, this is like just me assuming things based on some of these comments. We talk a lot about a head coach, maybe even a coordinator, because those are the names that we know. How are the position coaches on this team? Are they as good as they've always been? We heard some mumbo jumbo in the offseason about Pete's kids and whether that was a problem and, you know, whether there was something weird going on. I don't know any of it. I can't even really name you the defensive coaches or offensive coaches other than the coordinators. I don't know who's doing what. But for years, that was a real strength. And those are the guys who are doing a lot of the, you know, the game plan deployment, right? They get the game plan from the coach and the coordinators, and they're the ones who go out and actually explain how to, like, you know, do your job every week. Well, if the job's not being done, the execution's not done, is that the hole in the assembly the chain, line that's the problem? It's at least worth thinking about, and ultimately that would roll up to the head coach. He's the one responsible for that. So there's a lot, man. It is confusing and it is challenging, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong here, and I don't know that anybody really knows the answer yet. And again, the person that holds the key to all of this is Jody Allen. So what is she going to do? It's a question for John Clayton next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
Brought to you by Dubin Law Group.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing today? You ready for Thanksgiving yet?
Not yet. Getting there.
Good prep here over the next couple of days. Get yourself ready.
Got some bad football games.
I know. Gosh, all of the teams are like not playing well right in. And it's funny, Colleen was asking me about this. Like, can we do something about the Lions being on Thanksgiving? Can we like have some sort of a petition?
You could have a petition, but it's not going to go over. I mean,
sheesh.
The tradition of now Detroit and Dallas is going to stay and not change. But again, it's like Detroit's so bad and had been bad for such a long period of time. You'd like to see him open things up, but because it's Detroit, they're going to be able to keep it going. And this is now, you know, the worst team since the year before they drafted Matthew Stafford and had the undefeated season or the winless season.
The defeated season.
Yeah,
yes, they were totally defeated.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No wins so far in the year. 0-8-1, I believe they are this season.
0-9-1.
0-9-1. I shorted them a loss. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Chris Carson's going to have surgery, not going to return this year. What's your thoughts on the future of his career?
Scary. I mean, it's a neck fusion. I mean, you know, Pete seemed to think that he should be okay by next year, but Pete a couple weeks ago seemed to think that he was going to be on the field here in the last couple weeks. So I think you take it into the off season and see, but I think that obviously if you're going to be Seattle, you got to prepare as if, you know, he may not be there for next season. I mean, he's on a 2-year contract. I mean, there's no guarantees in next year's contract. And so if he's not healthy, they could let him go. But overall, and there's no injury guarantee in the contract. But I think it's pretty scary that the one back that you know aside from Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, that's at least signed next year, is, you know, got a neck fusion.
What would you, if it, let's assume you're right, John, and, yeah, and both Pete and Ross and everybody's back next year. Mm-hmm. What would you do? Like, who would you, what would you go looking to find to address your running back problem?
Well, I mean, I think you can see such great success with running backs taken in the second round. Javonte Williams this year, you know, Nick Chubb, and, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, and particularly if they're going to be drafting high, if this is going to be as bad of a season as it is right now, you have two choices. I mean, you can get an offensive tackle or you can get a running back, and then you have to make the decision between the two who's more important, or if there's a, you know, an offensive lineman that you can get a little bit lower. But, you know, I think that, you know, you can see that there's good running backs available in the second round. And because, again, so many don't go in the first round, and teams don't like to use first round
picks. They keep
picks.
Losing games, John. If that ends up being a top five pick that they lose to the Jets, how brutal is that going to be?
It's going to be, it is what it is. I mean, it's going to be pretty brutal.
It hurts, though. I mean, like, if they win a few games here down the stretch and that ends up being like the 14 pick, okay, it hurts.
Yeah.
But if it's the number five pick, that is just a kick in the teeth.
It really is, because, again, it's like, I mean, nobody anticipated a season like this, and nobody's anticipating, you know, it's like you still think that with some of the easy games they have coming up, that they could come back and, you know, be able to win some.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but, boy, I mean, if you're giving the Jets the fifth pick in the draft,
sheesh,
it's not good.
No, it's not. Hey, do you understand this Taysom Hill thing? He signed another new contract yesterday. What, was this guy have naked pictures of somebody?
I don't know. I mean, I have to see what the contract is. If it's more of a cap relief type of thing, you know, because, you know, what you wonder about, because they're saying, I mean, you know, I can't imagine him getting another $10 million a year for being basically a non-good quarterback. And, you know, it's like if he's just going to be, you know, pretty much a versatile player that can, you know, get out there for about 10, 15 plays a game, you know, he's not worth it. But, you know, what with his, you know, because, again, this could be one, because, again, it came out initially that he was getting a $40 million four-year extension. It just didn't make any sense.
No.
And so it's like, but what you wonder about is he taking a $10 million and spreading it over 4 or 5 years just to get cap relief for the team? Because, I mean, say what you want about the Saints, they don't have the cap room to be able to do something like that. Plus, they need to save the cap room next year to try to get a quarterback.
Yeah, they got to get Russell Wilson, right?
No. Oh, God.
John, how many teams do you think could win the Super Bowl this year? How many teams are, like, capable of winning the Super Bowl?
Well, right
year?
Now, I mean, you can't make a pick on who's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Really hard, right? I mean, just trying to figure out which teams are actually capable. We were running through it yesterday.
Yeah.
There were only maybe four or five teams that I looked at that I said, okay, that team could conceivably win the Super Bowl this year.
I mean,
like, they've got enough.
You still look at Kansas City. You know, they, I think with Patrick Mahomes, they still have a chance. Obviously, you look at Tom Brady. You know, I thought maybe that Buffalo, but they're going through some tough stretches
now. No. I'm not betting anything on Josh Allen winning a Super Bowl. Would you buy the Titans right now?
No.
Okay, they just lost to Houston. Or would you buy the Cardinals? Does that seem like a Super Bowl team?
Not really, no.
How about the Ravens?
Maybe. Yeah, because, again, it's like, say what you want about Lamar Jackson, even though he didn't play last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had an MVP. I mean, if they can get their defense better, you know they're going to be able to run the ball. You know they've got some good receivers. You know, they have a chance.
What about the Patriots? Can you see a rookie quarterback taking a team to the Super Bowl?
No, I can't.
It's hard to imagine. They're playing some really good football. The defense is really good.
Defense is really good, but I just can't see a rookie quarterback going through the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and particularly, you know, they're not going to be a number one seed, so that means they're not going to get a bye week, and so that means they have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, say what you want, I mean, you know, Mac Jones is be going against some pretty good quarterbacks when he gets into the playoffs.
You know, you say that there's only a couple of teams ahead of them right now, though. They could get a number one seed. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the AFC. The Titans are the top seed right now, right at 8-3,
mm-hmm.
but they've lost Derrick Henry. They just got beat by Houston.
Yeah.
And then you got a few other teams that are 7-3. The Ravens are 7-3. And then it's the Patriots at 7-4. There's only two teams ahead of them, and one of them they're tied with.
Yeah, that's no doubt. And it looks like they now that they've taken a little bit of control in the division in the AFC East,
right?
You know, they do have a chance, but I just still think with a rookie quarterback,
hard to fathom.
It's really hard to fathom.
Yeah, John, great stuff. I won't see you tomorrow, so enjoy.
Oh, where are you going to go?
I'm taking a day. We're getting out of town. The Salks are heading to Bend for a long weekend. We like it there, so we're going to go a little road trip today.
There you go.
Yeah, take the kids. 6 hours in the car. See you later.
Okay.
How about that?
Enjoy yourself.
You like a good road trip, John? You like 6 hours in the car?
No.
When's the last time you took a 6 hour road trip?
I can't tell you how many years.
Yeah, you're not a car guy. You don't like to just sit.
No, I mean, it's like the only time I, driving in a car is if I'm going to a Green Bay game. I'll fly into Chicago and drive to Green Bay.
Other than that, no cars for you.
No.
I love it. I love a good road trip. Since I was a little kid, I love getting in the car. Once you get over like 9 hours, that's probably too much.
Mm-hmm.
But even the 3 to 5, 6 hour range, like, I'm all in on that. I love it. I think it's
I'm
so
still
much fun.
Trying to recover from 86 when I drove across country on the longest road trip I've ever
when
taken.
You moved here?
Yeah, from Pittsburgh to, Federal Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
had you ever been here before that?
I mean, I've been here for play. I mean, I've been
You'd
here for
been
football
here.
Games. Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't like your first time ever like
no,
showing
no,
up in the
no,
city.
No.
I tell you, we moved here. The only time I'd ever been here was to interview. Like, we drove into the city and was like, well, I guess we live here. How mm-hmm. crazy is this place?
I
loved it. It was so much fun just kind of showing up. What a great adventure.
I love it here.
Yeah, same. All right, John, happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Good to talk to you. We'll do it again.
Have a good bender.
Thank you. All right, every day at 8:45, we get the professor's morning drive. All right, we got to run here because we're going to talk to Ty France. I am not going to ask him at all costs whether or not he is from France, because I can't believe that's like the top Google search.
The other ones are, is he married and is he single?
Of course, yeah. Aren't those always a thing? I don't know whether he is. I think he is single. He doesn't have any kids anyway, at least not that I saw online. So, all right, we'll talk to Ty France. We'll get ourselves ready for this Mariners offseason and see what he's excited for next year. We'll do it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.